Juno blinked tears from her eyes as she brought the ship around. The fastest launch she had ever performed may have taken her out of reach of the Imperial ambush, and the cloak might have kept her well off the Star Destroyer's scopes. Yet there was nothing she could do but wait until Vader's forces had finished cleaning up before returning to the scene. She forced herself to assume an innocent-looking orbit around Corellia and wait for an opening. Vader's shuttle lifted off in a swirl of steam. Accompanied closely by its escort of TIE fighters, it docked with the Star Destroyer and disappeared from sight. She didn't know exactly what it contained, but she could imagine. Take them alive. The Emperor wants to execute them personally. Finally, the Star Destroyer broke away from its objective orbit and moved out of the atmosphere. She watched it go every millimeter of the way, alert for any sign that it might be a decoy. Even when it had reached clear space and activated its hyperdrive, she cooled her heels for another 10 minutes. Long enough to be certain the site wasn't being watched, but before Korsak would turn up to perform a belated and likely predetermined sweep of the area. She put the ship into a hot cloaked descent, hoping against hope that someone, anyone had survived. The rogue shadow hovered on its repulsors, level with the eagle's nest. She peered through the viewport at the shattered pillars and into the room itself. The senators were gone, of course, and so was Coda. The corpses of the fallen bodyguards had been dragged into the corridor outside, but she saw nothing other than planetary uniforms among the outstretched limbs there. Something caught her eye on the shelf outside. A single body, sliced in two. She gasped on recognizing Proxy's gray skin. Snow had already dusted him, and she swung the ship lightly overhead, blowing it away. Doing so exposed a patch of dried blood not far from where he lay, and brought into sharper relief a series of footprints leading to the edge of the cliff. She didn't want to look, but she had to. There was a tiny black dot at the bottom of the precipice. Bringing the ship about and letting gravity tug it down the sheer side of the cliff, she braced herself for what she would find. He lay on his side, curled like a child, with one hand up close to his face. With the rational dispassion of someone keeping her emotions carefully in check, she debated whether to collect his body and take it away, or leave it as a piece of material evidence in the hope that it might trouble just one honest Korsak operative. His hand moved in the downdraft, and she assumed that was an illusion too. When it moved again, she fairly crashed the ship in her haste to bring it down, and was running to him before the shutdown command had even reached the engines. He was trying to sit up, without much success, blinking snow from his eyes and waving his left arm feebly through the air. She knelt next to him and got her arms under him. Once she had his weight, he was able to bend more successfully. It surprised him, her helping, and he looked up at her with his one open eye as though he hadn't noticed the ship arrive. His lips moved, but she couldn't hear what he was trying to say. "It's Juno," she reassured him. "Juno," he repeated, as though struggling to think some vast and complicated thought. My name is Galen." That broke the dam.